Today, we talk about control skins. Let's say you have a control, a checkbox maybe, but you want to completely change its appearance. How do you do that? Today, we give the deep level details on how to make this work.
Hello, I'm Eric Mork.
And I'm Monica Mork. Welcome to the Sparkling Client Podcast. Sparkling Client is a podcast about Silverlight and other web client technologies. It's meant for developers and designers who are interested in making the next generation of great-looking web applications. Here's how it works. You give us 15 minutes of your time, and we give you the tools to build amazing web clients. This week, we present a deep dive on how to skin user controls. Skins are easy to do in Blend, but what about at a deeper level? Eric, take it away.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our deep dive on how to skin a control. Now, here's the idea. We haven't done this sort of thing before, and it's kind of new. I want to be able to come on, give you some sort of conceptual information. Now, we're not going to be talking about the angle brackets and the sort of details that you might need to actually implement a technology. But what I would like to talk about is here's sort of the conceptual framework for how to do it, and maybe even a little bit about here's how to think about it. The goal is that, well, if you're a manager or something, then the goal is pretty obvious, that you know what skinning a control will be after you've listened to this. And so you have some sense of when that's appropriate and what the technical details are to actually do that. And that's sufficient. If you're a developer or a designer, you might be like, well, that's not quite enough for me to do that. Okay, fair enough. But you listen to this podcast on your commute or whatever you're doing, we give you the conceptual framework. And my experience is when I have that sort of framework in place, when I sit down and actually learn the technology, it falls right into place and it's easy and I know what to expect. So that's what we're going to try. Skinning. What exactly is skinning? Well, skinning means, and I've said this before, and Karina has said it too in a previous show, but skinning means to simply replace the visual elements of a control. So we have a control, and it has sort of the code, the behaviors, the things that actually move and fire events and those sorts of things. And then we have the visual part. And one of the great things about Silverlight is that those are completely separate pieces. Or I guess I should say, you can design your controls in such a way that they're skinnable. Now, we're not going to be talking about designing controls in such a way that they're skinnable. But we are talking about how to actually skin a control. So if you would like to change a control, now the sort of controls that you might like to change are in system.windows.controls in Silverlight, and Microsoft has made it so that those are easily skinnable. I'll talk about how to do that. So you want to change, let's say, and the example we're going to use here is the checkbox, right? So you have a checkbox. Microsoft gives you sort of a default look and feel. If you want to change that entire look and feel, now you can sort of subtly change with properties or what have you, but if you really want to go in deep and change how it looks, that's skinning, and that's what we're going to tell you about. So here are some resources. Karen Corby from Microsoft has put up some great articles. The two that are applicable to today's show are at shrinkster.com/ZQV and shrinkster.com/ZQW. They are the first and second in a series on how to skin controls, and very useful stuff. And also, the venerable Ian Griffiths has also put up some information. So you can go to shrinkster.com/ZQT, and you can use those resources, and I think that they give sort of a good overview to what skinning is. It's time to talk about terminology. So there's a little bit of terminology here, and I just want to explain it. It turns out that the terminology is pretty simple, but it's very important to understanding how we actually skin these controls. So here's the terminology. There are these things called parts. Well, what are parts? Parts are the sort of visual elements in your control. So as an example here, If you have a slider control, you might, now this isn't how the Microsoft one is implemented, so don't look here for an example, but if you were looking at another slider control, you might have a couple of different pieces. For instance, you might have a track and then a thumb piece. The thumb piece is that sort of vertical piece that slides from the left to the right along the track and adjusts the value of your slider. Okay. So those are different parts, these visual pieces that exist in the control. Okay, the next part are states. Our controls can be in multiple different states, and the best way to describe this is to say, we'll take a look at the button. Take a look at a button, and when you hover over that button, the state changes, meaning the visual appearance changes. So these can be things like in response to user input, or they can also be things whether the user has hovered or pushed the button or whatever. But in the case of the checkbox, they can actually also refer to sort of logical states of the control. So if you have a checked checkbox, that can be a state, and so can an unchecked checkbox. The next thing we want to talk about are transitions. The transitions mean we don't want our controls to simply go from one state, say the normal state, to another state, say the mouse over state, instantaneously. It's hard on people's neurons. Listen to our show with Ian Griffiths, and he talks about this. We want a smooth sort of transition. And transitions are these storyboards that say how our controls change from one state into a different state. All right. The next one to talk about are state groups. State groups. So there are some sort of states that sort of fall together. Let's take a look at the checkbox. These are what you might call common states, like normal, when nobody's hovering over your control and it's active, etc. Then you might have another one called mouse over, etc., etc. And that would be a state group. And you might name that one common states because it has sort of common states with other controls. But then you might have another group, and that might be called check states. And it has things like, is your checkbox checked? Is it selected, right? Or is it unchecked, unselected? Or is it indeterminate? You know how in a tree control, you might have items selected or not selected below you, and you might be in an indeterminate state. So you might have those states. Now, the thing about state groups is each state inside of a group, those states are mutually exclusive. So you can't be checked and unchecked at the same time. But they're not exclusive across groups. So for instance, you could have a checkbox right from the check state, and then it could be moused over, right, in the common states. So it could be checked, and it could be moused over. And this leads us to this thing called the Visual State Manager. It used to be, now Visual State Manager was introduced in Beta 2, but it used to be that we had all of these states you had to consider. You had to consider your control in the mouse over state when it was checked, the mouse over state when it was unchecked, and there was an explosion of possibilities. The Visual State Manager is simply a helper class, and what it does, it helps control this explosion of possibilities. You group your states, like we talked about, common states and check states, and Visual State Manager will be a helper to help set how your control transitions into those states and how it looks once it gets to those states. So you don't have to specify, here's how my control looks when it's moused over and indeterminate. You don't have to specify those things. Instead, you specify, here's what my control looks like when you mouse over it. Here's what it looks like when it's indeterminate. And Visual State Manager handles all of the sort of deep level details for what that control looks like in the combinations of states. Now, this isn't enforced by the runtime, but it is certainly good policy at this time to use the state manager. Just a helper class helps out a lot. Okay, here's how we're going to do this. Here is how we are going to skin a control. The first bit that we have to do is that we have to do a bit of research. The idea is someone else has written this control. They have done all of the functionality. We just want to do the visual pieces, but we need to do a little research to figure out, how do we implement those visual pieces and those states that the control designer was expecting, right? Because we don't have complete freedom here. We have to design our control in such a way that the control designer's code will work with our visual state. So how do we do that? Let's do a bit of research. What you need to do is you need to look at the definition of a class. And I put my cursor inside of a class name. So in the code, I'll type checkbox, select it, and then I hit F12 a couple of times, and all of a sudden I'm in the metadata for that class. So you need to look at the definition. There are alternate ways too. So for instance, you can go into the object browser, you can go to system.windows.controls, you can find your control of preference, and then you can say view code definition window, and you'll see that same metadata. Here's what you're looking at. At the very top of the class, you're going to see attributes that specify the contract that you need to keep with this control. You will see things like template part attributes. These attributes specify what visual parts, remember we talked about parts, the visual pieces that appear in your control, what parts do you need? So it'll say the name in this attribute, it'll say the name of that part, and it'll say the type, so typically a framework element. So you know when you design the control, you need that type, and it needs to be a framework element. The other part is, you will see template visual states. And like you expect, these visual states specify the states you need to apply. So you might see one that has a name of mouse over, and it'll also tell you the group name. It'll tell you, hey, we're in the common states group. So that tells you a couple of things. It tells you what groups you're going to need for your control, what groups you're going to need for your skin, and it tells you what states you're ultimately going to need. Okay, so you've done the research. You know the contract you need to keep with the person who designed this control. So here's what you need to do next. You need to get the parts specified. Now, it's easy to find this in sample code, and so I'll refer you to the resources we had before. See shrinkster.com/ZQT, for instance. Here's how you define your skin. You have a control template element, and it has an attribute of the type of control that you're writing a skin for. You might say control template target type equals checkbox, and then inside of that, we're going to put all of our skin information. Inside of the control template element, you specify what your control is going to look like. So here's where you use the XAML to sort of draw your button, say. Remember, you have to keep the contract. So if you had on your particular type template parts, like say if you were going to do a slider, you need the thumb part, the part that moves up and down. You need to actually put that in here and specify by X:name that this is the part that the control needs. And then the control can do things like wire up event handlers and move it if it needs to or what have you. Okay, so that's how you specify it. You specify how your control is going to look. And sort of good practice here is that you specify your control in sort of a default state, and that keeps things simpler later on. So you lay out your parts. What does it look like? The next thing you're going to do is that you are going to lay out the states. Remember, the other part of this contract was the states, mouse over, etc. You, and again, look at the source code, shrinkster.com/ZQT, for instance. But what you do is you add a VSM:visual state group element to say this is a state group, and you say X:name common states, or whatever the case might be for your particular control. Remember, you can find this in the attributes for the control that you're writing a skin for. Inside of each state group, you add a VSM:visual state element. You give it a name specific, again, you get this from the contract, to what sort of a state it's going to be in, mouse over. Okay. And then you add a storyboard that says, here's how I get from the sort of default state to the mouse over. So maybe you would add an effect like changing the color of your control slightly. Well, here's where you do it. in a storyboard. Now, these, by convention, appear to have a zero duration. I don't think this is the best place to sort of specify the transitions here. What we're trying to say is, here is what the control should look like in this state, and we'll worry about the transitions elsewhere. Now, some of these are empty, and that looks a little weird. You might see VSM colon visual state, X colon name, normal, right? The normal visual state is empty. What this does is it tells the visual state manager that this is a valid visual state, but there's nothing special to do. And since these states in the group are mutually exclusive, the visual state manager will know, I take it back to the default state. So here's what we've done. We've added our parts, and we've added the specific parts by name that are required in our contract. We've added our states. We've added those that were specified in the contract. So now we have mouse overs or button press states or whatever the case might be. Now that we've added those, our control is relatively functional at this point. You have a control, and if we were working with a button, say, if you hovered your mouse over it, it would change its visual appearance to be in a new state. The problem is, it would do it all of a sudden. We need to add transitions. So how we do that is we go back to the appropriate visual state group that we're working with. Remember, the state group sort of group things like checked or unchecked. And we go to that group and we add a visual state group.transitions element. And inside of that element, we add visual transition elements. These visual transition elements specify the transition from one state to another state. So you can say as an attribute, from mouse over to pressed. Now the visual state manager is smart enough to know when you go from mouse over on a button to pressed on a button, it's going to activate this particular transition. Now when you do these transitions, you have a choice. The first choice is that you can just specify a duration. You can say 0.5. And what the visual state manager will do is it will define a storyboard that goes for 0.5 seconds, and it will automatically generate this storyboard to go from the mouse over state to the press state and generate the intermediates along the way. And of course, some people will say, that's not enough control. I want a little more control. And what happens there is you can actually specify a custom transition. You can specify everything you want to about it. You can add a little storyboard there. And you can get detailed. If you want to see some examples of that, go to, again, to shrinkster.com/ZQT. Now notice I said from and to. It sounds like a lot of work, but it turns out you can leave out the from and you can leave out the to. And those will act as sort of wild cards. And what happens then is the visual state manager will apply that transition to multiple states. So let's say, instead of saying from mouse over to pressed, instead of saying that, you just say from mouse over. Well, the visual state manager is smart enough to come along, and it's smart enough to only apply that transition when you're coming from a mouse over state. And so you can apply wildcards and save yourself a lot of work here. Now, if you're interested, there's this whole path that the visual state manager will follow. So it will look for appropriate transitions. So it will look for from to transitions. So if you've specified both from and to, those will receive priority. Then it falls back to, can it find a transition with only a to? And then can it only find a transition with a from? And finally, can it only find a transition that is a default for that state group? And if it can find one, then it will run that one. And there you go. That's how you create a skin for a control. It's this process where you do research to find out what sort of contract do I have. And again, you have two pieces there. You have the parts, which specify which sort of visual chunks do you have to have in your control. And then you also have the states, like mouse over, pressed, etc. Which of those do you need to implement? And so what you do is in XAML, you specify the elements for the parts. And then you come down to the visual state manager elements and you specify what your states look like. And then you pretty it up even a little further by adding the transitions from those different states. And the visual state manager comes along behind and manages the transitions between all of those sort of complex states, handles and simplifies the combinatorial problem, and your control works and acts like you would expect it to with a minimum amount of work.
Thanks, Eric. I think I understand how the visual state manager makes skinning an easier process. Thanks for listening. The music for today's show is used with permission and is from teamyacht.com and magnatune.com. For more information, see the show notes page.